If you're in your Bible, Acts chapter 12, and I'll start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread." Verse number 4. "And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in the prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out, and passed on through one street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Today what I really want to look at is, we look at this passage of Scripture, is verse number 5, where it says, "But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." This evening I want to speak for just a few minutes on the power of prayer in the church. I believe that prayer is undoubtedly one of the greatest tools given by God to us. And I know that we are a praying church. I'll say honestly, the first time I came and I visited, that is something that just stuck out to me, was a time that we spent in prayer. And I know that it is something that many of you are prayer warriors. You spend so much time in prayer. And today I just want to encourage you to keep on praying, because prayer has the power. So let's pray before we get into the message tonight. Lord, we love you, and Lord, we're just thankful for all that you do for us, God. We're thankful for your goodness and your grace, and Lord, we're thankful for your power, God. Lord, we're thankful for the prayers that you have answered. Lord, we're thankful for the ways that you have worked. And God, we are so thankful for your word and the answers that are found within it. And Lord, as we look for a few minutes tonight on this subject of prayer, Lord, I just want to say, Lord, thank you for this gift of being able to come to your throne. And Lord, to request of you, God, we don't deserve that. But Lord, we thank you. Lord, pray your Spirit would just fill me this evening. And that, Lord, you would guide my heart and my mind. And that, Lord, you would meet and speak with us tonight, I pray. In Christ's name. Amen. Prayer. You know, prayer is simply requesting something of God. As you read books or you see quotes, there's all kinds of different, definitions and examples of prayer. But what we know as prayer, or what we practice as prayer, is a simple relationship of a conversation between us and God. Prayer is found all over the Bible. I believe God answered prayer in the life of Moses and the children of Israel time and time again. When you look at the book of Exodus, you see that Moses went to God in prayer. God answered prayer time and time again in the life of the prophet of Elijah by showing great and wonderful miracles. God answered prayer through the life of the Jewish patriarch Abraham as he led his family across the wilderness to a place that he knew not of. God answered prayer in the life of King David, making him a man after God's own heart. God answered prayer in the life of Daniel by delivering him from the den of lions. God answered the prayer in the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego by delivering them from the fiery furnace. God answered prayer in the life of Elisha by showing great miracles. God answered prayer in the time of the judges by delivering Israel from sin and judgment over and over and over again. And God has answered prayer of mankind by sending a beautiful Savior named Jesus Christ. Yeah. And that's just part of the Old Testament. We see prophets, and we see the New Testament. We see apostles and disciples who are following after God. And we see how God has answered prayer in such an amazing way. You know, the wonderful thing about prayer is that prayer can do anything that God can do. Why? Because we're going to God and we're requesting of His power and of His answer.
And tonight, as we think about prayer and as we look, as we just talked about some of the ways that God has answered prayer in the Word of God, as we look back on our own lives, on ways that God has answered prayer in our own past and maybe even in this own past week, and as we look at this story of God answering prayer in the life of the church and the Apostle Peter, tonight we want to look at four aspects of prayer that are found in this story that can be applied to our church even today. Number one, we see the previous pattern of prayer. You see, the pattern was first offset by Jesus Christ. Multiple times in the Gospel, we see that Jesus Christ went up into a mountain to pray. Six times in the book of Matthew, God tells His people to pray. Four times in the book of Mark, seven times in the book of Luke, and five times in the book of John, Jesus says that He Himself will pray. It was the disciples who cried out to God, "Lord, teach us to pray." Then they say, "God, teach us to preach. God, teach us to do this and to do this and to perform miracles." They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." It was in the hardest time of Jesus Christ's life when He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that the cross was just before Him, that He knelt down and prayed all night. Time after time in the life of Jesus Christ, He made prayer a big deal. As we're reading here in the book of Acts in chapter number 12, we see over the first 12 chapters how the first church in the Word of God had made a big deal of prayer. Acts 1:14, the very first thing that the disciples did after they saw Jesus Christ ascend to heaven was they continued in prayer. Acts 1:24, when the disciples went to replace Judas Iscariot with Matthias, they went to prayer. Acts 2:1, the group was gathered together when the Holy Ghost came down at Pentecost, and I believe it would be fair to assume that they were there praying to the Lord. Acts 3 in verse number 1, Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer. Acts 4:24 through 31, Peter and John are brought before a council of men that oppose the preaching of God. So what do? They went to prayer. And the place was shaken by the Holy Ghost. Acts 6:4, the apostles narrowed down their ministry to prayer and to preaching, showing the importance of prayer. And I have a whole list of different verses where time after time, the disciples, what do? They go to prayer. You see, they had made the pattern of prayer one of the top priorities in their life. The first church in the book of Acts had made prayer one of the top priorities in the life of their church. And I believe our church has made prayer a pattern in our ministry. But we can't finish. We can't just stop. Oh, we can't just skip the prayer meeting. I believe it was Leonard Ravenhill. He said that Sunday morning oftentimes will show how important people in the church are, whether it's a pastor or whether it's a soloist. And they said that sometimes even Sunday night will show how important church or being a Christian is to some people. And they said Wednesday night when it's the prayer meeting will show just how important God is to the people. Oh, prayer is so important. Prayer is the time, the lifeblood of the Christian, where we spend time communicating with God. As we say, prayer is a pattern in our churches. Prayer is a pattern in your Christian life. How's your prayer life this evening? I believe we would all say, "Oh yes, I can pray more." But we must have a pattern of prayer. I believe one of the great reasons that the church saw God answer their prayer for Peter to be freed was because it was something that they had been doing time and time again. You see, they weren't coming to God for the first time in their life. They weren't coming together and praying for the first time in the life of their church. It was something that they had done often. And we hear sometimes, God is not our lucky rabbit's foot. God is not our good luck charm. God is not 911 that we dial. God is our Father. God is our Savior. God is our Shepherd. And He's the one that we should go to often in prayer. But how often do we treat Jesus like a good luck charm? "Oh Lord, I'm going to bind here." And that's the only time we pray. Well, the church had made it a pattern of prayer. Not only do I believe that the church saw a great answer to prayer because of their previous pattern, but I believe they saw a great answer to prayer in the life of Peter because it was their earnest method of prayer. If you would look at verse number 5, it says, "Peter therefore was kept in the prison, but prayer was made without ceasing." This without ceasing was a vibrant, earnest, and passionate method of prayer in which the church prayed for Peter without stopping. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, God encourages us to pray without ceasing. often think of Hannah in the Old Testament and how earnest she was in praying for a child. She prayed and she went to the temple and she would kneel down and she would cry out and she would say, God, give me children lest I die. She would go and she would pray with a purpose. She would pray with a passion and she would pray until God would give her what she believed was His will. She was passionate, but she was also consistent. When you read that passage in Samuel, you'll see that it was time and time again, every single year, that Hannah went there in prayer. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do you pray passionately? Do you pray with some urgency? I believe sometimes that we are all guilty of just praying a prayer because it's something that we're so used to doing. We pray for our meals and we pray before bed and maybe we pray right in the morning, but we lose our focus, we lose our passion, we lose our intensity of saying, God, there is a desperate need that I have of You. It's been said about prayer is that prayer shows our dependence upon God. Prayer reveals how much we trust and how much we depend on God every single day. And here was the church. They prayed without ceasing. They didn't just pray one prayer. They didn't just pray because it's something they had always done. But they prayed with a passion, with an intensity, and with a desire that, God, we need You to work. Not only did they pray without ceasing, but it also says they prayed without ceasing of the church unto God. You see, the church prayed to the only one with the ability to answer. You know, I'm thankful that we are part of a praying church because our church prays to the God who formed the heavens, the God who formed us, the God who we trust in to save us from our sins. We pray to the God that His very nature is to answer prayer. He's a God who delights in hearing our prayers. Time and time again, God promises in His Word that He will answer prayer. Time and time again, God commands us and God pleads with us that we would go to Him in prayer. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? We pray to a God who answers prayer. And I know that many of you have attested and can attest that God has answered prayer in your life, that God has come through in some of the times where you spent night after night after night praying and weeping and coming to God. And you go to the Lord in prayer and you can honestly say, I pray to a God who hears my cry. Amen. He doesn't just hear, but He cares. And thank God that He doesn't just care when we pray, but He answered. You see, the earnest method of prayer was that they prayed without ceasing, that they prayed to God, but that also they gathered together. Nearly every time that the disciples or apostles prayed, they were in a group. I believe that our personal prayer life is of the utmost importance, that we need to have a personal prayer life where we spend time with God each and every day alone in our prayer closets, calling upon Him and speaking with Him and communing with Him. But I believe it's also very, very important for us as a church to gather together and pray.
Yes, it is.
You think of Pentecost where they were gathered into the upper room. Think of this church. You know, there was a dire situation. And it wasn't just one person praying in their closet, but it was a church that came together to pray. Matthew 18:20 says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. God has always sought to answer group prayer. God has always sought to honor those who pray in groups, those of us who are Christians, and we gather together for a specific purpose of saying, God, we need You.
Yes.
And the Lord answers. We praise God for that. Part of their method of praying was they prayed together as a group. I believe without a doubt that it is important for the church to gather together specifically for the purpose of prayer. And I believe without a doubt that God blesses and that God answers when we do. And we've seen that as a church. We've seen God bless over the past year different things. You've seen over the past years and years of this church that many of you have been here where God has blessed and answered prayer.
Yes, He has.
So let's continue to pray.
Let's continue to put an emphasis on gathering together and praying to our God. We see, first of all, this evening is the previous pattern of prayer. Number two, we saw the earnest method of prayer. But then also we see the powerful answer of prayer. We read in those verses where the Holy Spirit or the angel of the Lord had gone to Peter and had awakened him. And we saw that Peter walked out. And if you'll look with me at verse number 11 is where we'll pick it up again. It says, "And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is an angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go and show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place." This answer to prayer was unbelievable. This answer to prayer was miraculous. God does the miraculous when the church will gather together in prayer. I just sometimes I laugh at this story as I read it. Here's Peter and God is doing a miracle. And he awakens him by an angel and the angel leads him out. And it says, when Peter was come to himself, he's kind of like, am I dreaming? Is this really happening? He's walking through the prison and he's going out and he's led outside the gates and he comes to himself and he realizes this isn't a dream. This isn't a vision. This is real. God has answered my prayer. And then there's Peter and he goes and he knocks on the door of where everyone was meeting. And Rhoda goes and tells everybody it's Peter. And they say, no, we don't believe you. They say, you're crazy. They say, no, that didn't happen. Now, there's different reasons people think that they may have happened. But the bottom line is they didn't believe that God was answering their prayers. Why? Because God had done the miraculous because they spent time praying. And I believe without a doubt that God will do the miraculous and that God in many ways has done the miraculous when we have come to Him together in prayer. Oh, God answers prayer in a powerful way. And I know that there's different needs among this church. There's some of you that have a burden for some loved ones that need to be saved. You have a burden maybe for some children that are away from the Lord. And if we're to gather in prayer and spend time asking for God to spare their lives and to give them Christ and to show unto them the gospel, we can see God answer in a miraculous way. Some of these ministries that we've been looking at and we're praying about, and pastor has told us that we're going to look towards starting some of these addictions ministries and maybe a Christian school down the road and maybe sometime planning starting another church. Sometimes we may look at that and say, that's big, that's huge. But God can answer and do the miraculous. I know some of you have great needs. Maybe it's physically, maybe it's mentally, maybe it's an emotional need, maybe it's a financial need. You say, I'm in a hard spot. I don't know what to do. Well, let's gather in prayer and see God do the miraculous. Many of you say, I've seen God work. I've seen God answer this prayer. Maybe you have it written down somewhere. Why? Because God has made a promise to us. And God always keeps His promises. That when we go to Him in prayer, He will answer. We serve the same God. The same God who delivered Peter can answer your prayers. God can see your prayers answered personally, and God can see our prayers answered as a group. God can heal the sick. God can save the lost. God can provide for the poor. God can revive the cold-hearted. God can bring back the backslidden. God can deliver you through the trial that you're going through right now. God can hear and answer your prayers, and He delights in answering your prayers miraculously. Oftentimes when we pray, sometimes I like to pray that God would answer prayer in such a way that others can only look to God so that God would receive the glory. And I believe this is one of those answers to prayer. This is one of those miraculous things where all the soldiers, they're looking around, they're looking for that guy they had bound up in chains between two soldiers. They say, where did he go? Only God. Well, the church finally opens the door and they see Peter standing there and they say, oh no, he would have died. And Peter tells them the story and he says, only God. because God answers prayer. I'm thankful that we serve a Savior who hears our cry. I'm thankful that we serve a God who cares about the smallest of prayers. For the God that cares about the little things that we go to Him about. But also that we serve a God who cares about doing those miraculous things where He can receive the glory. But it won't happen if we don't gather in prayer. It won't happen if prayer isn't a priority. Oh, if we don't have a pattern of prayer in our own lives and in our church, then we will miss out on the answers to prayer that God has for us. I believe that God, in times out of His grace and His mercy, will answer prayer. But imagine the abundant blessings that we can find if we're going to God after the pattern He has set in His Word. Prayer is so important. Not only is prayer important, but prayer is work. Think of that method. It was a passionate prayer. It was a consistent prayer. It was they were praying all night without ceasing. We as a church, we have to work in prayer. It's a battle. We go to God and we say, God, I'm not going to let this person go unsaved without asking You again. God, I'm not going to let my child drift away from You without begging one more time for You to bring them back. Lord, I'm not going to let Jackson County go down in the drug epidemic and the things that they're dealing with without asking You to spare them. And we go to God in prayer, and we go to God in prayer, and we go to God in prayer, and we see God work. We saw, first of all, the powerful pattern of prayer. Number two, the earnest method of prayer and the powerful answer of prayer. And then lastly, this evening, we see the God-honoring results of answered prayer. You'll go with me to verse number 18. The Bible says, "Now as it was soon day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because of their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in his royal apparel, sat upon his throne, and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a god, and not a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost." Then verse number 24. "But the word of God grew and multiplied." I don't think it's any mistake that God included those four verses about Herod in this part of the book. I don't believe it's any mistake that God shows that Herod did not give God the glory. So he was smitten. Here we see the church wins a powerful victory. We see where God has answered prayer. And we see as a result of this answered prayer in verse number 24 that the word of God grew and multiplied. You see the God-honoring results of answered prayer is number one, God's glory. We live and we're created and are supposed to live to bring honor and glory to God.
Yes.
And prayer does that. When we cast our dependence on God, saying, God, You're the only one who can help. We go to God and we say, God, I'm trusting in You. I'm depending on You. I am leaning on You to answer this prayer. That brings glory to God by showing that God is the only one who can work in such a way. Not only that, but when God answers prayer, we say, hey, do you know what happened this past week? I was praying for this and God did this. Hey, you know what? No need I had this past week. Look what God has done. Oh, when that sinner walks down the aisle and they come and they give their life to Jesus Christ. What glory that gives to God. We say, I prayed for that person to accept Christ as their Savior. When that person that you know that's away from God comes back to Jesus Christ, and the joy that floods your soul that you tell other people about it, that is the glory that goes to God because of answered prayer. The first God-honoring result of answered prayer is God's glory. But it is also the word and work of God growing and being multiplied. See, I'm thankful that we come to a church that isn't full of entertainment. That isn't necessarily full of gimmicks. We come to a church that believes in the Word of God and that desires to follow the Word of God and that desires to be a church of prayer, and that desires to be a church that depends on God. You know, let me tell you why I'm thankful is because when God works, we can't point to ourselves. We can't point to any special things. All we can do is point to God and saying, look what God has done. It's real. It's genuine. Say, you know what? That person's life was changed because of God. When God's Word grows and is multiplied, and when God's kingdom is furthered, it brings honor and glory to God, but it also says, look what God has done. I believe that people who heard of God answering this prayer in the life of Peter were saved. I believe there were some people who for the first time understood that there is a God who answers prayer. Imagine those soldiers. There's no explanation. There's no outside understanding of what had happened other than God had released Peter. And for that, for them, that day was a testament that God is real and that they need to turn to Him.
Yes.
Not only that, but the church's faith was grown. The church saw firsthand that God can do the impossible. And I believe that if we are a praying church and that if we spend time putting a priority on spending time with God, and on asking God to do the miraculous, that when God answers, we will not just see the blessing of answered prayer, but we will see people that will say, you know, there's something going on at that church down the road. God answers their prayers. Hey, there's something going on in that family. Hey, there's something going on in that man or lady at work. God answers their prayers. I've seen or heard stories even of some of you where you say, this person at work asked me to pray. They're not even a Christian. And they asked me to pray for something. No, because you're a testimony that God answers your prayers. In our church, I pray, will be a testimony that God hears and answers our prayers. Why? Because we need God. Because we depend on God. But because there's a world outside these doors that needs to know that God is real and that God is powerful and that God is who He says He is. And that we have a relationship with Him. I'm sure many times as the church gathered to pray, somebody might speak up and say, remember that time that God delivered Peter? Hey Rhoda, do you remember the time that you came and told us Peter was outside the door and we all called you crazy? Yeah. Hey Peter, do you remember the time when that angel woke you up and told you to go out? Hey, do you remember that time when you saw Peter and God had done the miraculous? It's a testimony to that group of people, that God is real, that God answers prayers, but that also that God answers their prayers. The ministry was furthered. Many, many people are concerned that the church is weak, is lackadaisical, that the church is dying out or powerless. Many people are concerned or they believe that the church is just either a group of hypocrites or is just a group of people that, you know, we come and we use church and God as a crutch and nothing really happens. But we know that couldn't be further from the truth. Yes, maybe we are weak. Yes, there's nothing special about us. Oh, but it's not a game. Oh, it's not something fake. That when we come to church, we really know and have a relationship with a God who answers prayer. I believe the church had a testimony that God was a strong, mighty God who answered their prayers. I believe if we want to see God grow our ministries, if we want to see God grow our church, if we want to see God grow and start some of those ministries, then we must continue to pray.
Yes.
We must continue to get on our knees and beg God to work, and beg God to increase our faith, and beg God to save the lost, and beg God to bring people back to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We must make prayer a priority. Thankful, a church that I grew up in California, especially during my high school years, I was able to just kind of have a different kind of ministry, I guess, in that church where pastor would take me around and he would allow me to be involved in different ministries. And I was thankful that that church also had a pattern of prayer. I remember sometimes we might tell somebody who didn't go to our church kind of different meetings and stuff that our church had for prayer, and they would look at us like we were crazy. In that church, I'm not saying we got to do these things at our church, but I remember they had a Sunday morning men's prayer at about 6 o'clock in the morning. I remember in Sunday school, They'd have prayer time in their Sunday school classes. And then Sunday morning, they would have a morning service, often like us. Then about 30 minutes before church, they'd have men's and ladies' prayer. And remember, at the end of the evening service, we would pray for our missionaries. We'd spend the last 15 minutes in prayer. There were Wednesday nights was obviously our prayer meeting, and we'd spend a good 20 to 30 minutes in prayer. Remember, other times these needs came about that we would pray. Maybe I didn't understand it really a whole lot at that time, but I understood that prayer was important and that this church believed in the power of prayer. I remember one day, I think it was a Memorial Day, we had had a picnic and we had gone out as a church family, we were doing different things, and the pastor's mother-in-law had fallen sick a couple of weeks before, and she was really not doing well. She had a kidney stone that had engulfed her entire kidney, and she was needing surgery. And they were looking at it, and they were looking at what to do, and they said the surgery was pretty dangerous, that when they opened everything up, there was a really bad chance that she would go sepsis, or septic. And they prayed for her, and she was going into that surgery. We prayed for her throughout the day, and we had our picnic. And then I remember our pastor, right as we were leaving the picnic, got a call that things were really bad, that they just needed to get to the hospital as soon as they could, because most likely this lady was going to pass away. And there was a man in the church, I don't remember who it was, but he said, "Let's go to the church and pray." I think there was a group of about 15 to 20 men in there praying. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And we praise God that lady's life was spared. And then a few weeks later, she walked into church. And I remember us praying, and we're sitting there, and people are calling out to God at different times. And one person would pray, and one person would pray, and then the next person would pray. And then I heard a phone ring. And somebody answered the phone, and they said, "Guys, a miracle happened. The doctors don't even understand it. But she's turned for the better, and she's going to be okay." Amen. We were saying, "Oh, that's a miracle. God has answered that prayer." We looked around and we went home that day and kind of even a little bit awestruck at what God had done. Maybe it was because that church had made prayer a pattern in the life of their church. It's not a mistake that God answered their prayers, but because they had spent a lot of time praying. This was a church that prayed with a method that was earnest, that was without ceasing. They prayed passionately. They knew what it was to pray. And they went to God often. Not only was it a pattern and a method of prayer, but they had seen God answer prayers. Little things here and there. Sometimes big things, people being saved, lives being changed. It was amazing just to see how God constantly answered prayer. And that day, just looking back at this sort of miraculous thing, we're almost like Peter in this church where you can't even believe what God has just done. And I remember when she walked into church a few weeks later, and the glory that was given to God by her as an answer to prayer. You see, that church had learned that prayer was a powerful tool. That God hears and answers prayer. And He does it miraculously. In church, I believe that our church does put a priority on prayer. I believe we've made prayer a pattern. I believe that many of you in your personal lives, you spend a good bit of time in prayer. My encouragement tonight is just don't stop. Keep a priority on prayer. If you personally have grown lax in your prayer life, then get back to praying every day. If you're missing maybe some of the times of prayer at the church, oh, then come and pray. Nobody's going to point fingers at you. Nobody's going to say, "Where have you been? What's wrong with you?" And we're going to gather and we're going to pray together. And seek after God. Because the power of the church, the power in the Christian life, is not of us. It's not of anything that we can do. But it's all in the God that we serve. And prayer shows a dependence and a need for Him. So my friends, really my church family, how is your prayer life? Is prayer a priority? Is prayer a pattern in your life? Do you go to God just when it's convenient for you? Is God kind of your last resort? "Oh, I'm just going to go to God and pray after you've tried everything else." Or do you pray to God each and every day? How's your method of prayer? Is it just kind of a half-hearted thing that you do, almost not even thinking about it because you pray all the time? And so you just kind of pray a prayer for this and a prayer for that, and you don't remember what you prayed for? Or is it an earnest method of prayer? a consistent method of prayer, a passionate method of prayer, where you are really seeking after God. Have you seen some answers to prayer lately? Has God blessed you? I know many of you have. So praise the Lord for it. Give God the honor and the glory. And let's see what God will do in our lives and in our church as we gather to pray. Because prayer moves the heart and the hands of God. Let's pray tonight. Lord, we love You. God, we're thankful for Your Word. Lord, we're thankful for the ways that You have answered prayer in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, I know that, God, You've worked in different people's hearts and different people's lives in different ways. That, God, we know that You have done the miraculous, Lord, even in the past few months, Lord, just seeing people saved and seeing lives change. God, we praise You for that, Lord. We give You the honor and glory for that, Lord. I pray that You would help us, Lord, not to grow weak in our prayer. Lord, not to let prayer lose its priority. Lord, if there is one or maybe a couple here today who haven't put the emphasis on prayer that they need to, would You help them, Lord, to get back to prayer? Lord, would You help all of us to grow in our prayer life? Lord, I know that, Lord, all of us can do better in praying, spending time with You, calling out to You. And God, I pray that You would just do wonders and miracles in our church. Lord, I pray for those that are lost, that need salvation. God, I pray for those that are away from You, friends and family members, that, oh God, You would bring them back. Lord, we pray for the needs of many here, the health needs or the financial needs or the other needs that some people have. God, I pray that You'd work in their behalf. God, we know that You delight in answering prayer. So I ask that You would hear our cry tonight, Lord, that You work in our lives. We'll thank You for it. As the piano begins to play...